It's good to be here tonight, and I sure thank the Lord for this opportunity. And now, camp meeting week is one of my favorite times of the year. We have camp meeting at our church every year in October, and God just helps us in a wonderful way. In fact, I met my wife on the first night of camp meeting at our church. The first time I ever went to the church that I pastor now, I met my wife, and it was during camp meeting. So camp meeting holds a special place in my heart, and I always get help during a week like this. How many of you would say I've got some help during camp meeting this week? And here's what I want to preach on tonight. If I was going to give it a title, I'd probably call it this: How to Have Camp Meeting When Camp Meeting Is Over. I'm telling you, this week you've got help. This week the Lord has helped you, and God's met with you. God's done some things in your heart that are going to have a long effect and a long impact on you. But the truth is, we have these times, we have these moments where God really helps our heart. God really does something for us, and it's just like you're living up on the mountain peak. You know what I'm talking about? Right now you feel like you could charge hell with a squirt gun and all those things. But the truth is, if you've been on the mountain peak, sometime you're going to have to come back down to the valley. And sometimes what happens is we get in a meeting like this, and God helps us and God blesses us, and then we get about 2 days later and we think, what in the world has gone wrong? All those promises that I made to God at the altar, all those things I told God I wasn't ever going to do again, all those things I told God I was going to do every day for the rest of my life, it's been 2 days and I'm already finding myself slipping. Or you'll wake up maybe about Thursday, Friday morning, and you'll think, man, camp meeting sure has been good this week, and I can't wait to go one more time, and then it'll hit you. There's not any more camp meeting services. Now, let me tell you this. When y'all get in, Brother Scott, I know you take vacation right after camp meeting. Is that right? Are you going to be here Sunday? All right, good. Listen, on Sunday, y'all pray for your preacher. I didn't mean that. Your preacher might be, that's good. Y'all pray for me, all right? That Parker's is getting to me. But the next time your preacher stands up in this pulpit, don't ever forget, us visiting preachers, we get to come in sometimes and we get to preach our favorite message and we get to tell our best stories and we get to preach a message we've preached over and over and over again. But God gave you that man right there. God gave you that man to study and to feed you every week. Now, I'll tell you the truth. If I can do anything for anybody in here, I will. But I'm going back to Yakinville when this service is over. And I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be the one that sheds tears and prays for you. And so when he gets up to preach the next time, you amen him, you help him, you do what you can to be a blessing to your preacher. But about Thursday, Friday morning, you're going to wake up. You're going to think, man, I can't wait to get back to camp meeting. And then you'll remember, there's not any more camp meeting services. And you'll think, I sure would like to hear that when he reaches down his hand again. And I'll tell y'all one thing. Y'all's church is blessed. You got a preacher that can preach and a preacher that can sing. Poor old Northwood, they barely got a preacher that can preach, all right? When y'all remember it, during COVID, everybody was having those outdoor services. We did it too. First week of it, we said, all right, I'll just pull my truck up out here, preach off the back of my truck. And one of my deacons asked me, said, don't you think we ought to build you a platform or something outside here? And I said, no, we won't be out here but a week or two at the most. Right. And then months and months later, every time I'd have to jump up on the back of my truck, I think, man, I wish we had built that platform. But one Sunday, just the adventures you get to have, I'm getting my nerves out right now, all right? The adventures we got to have during COVID, one Sunday morning, I got up to preach, and all of a sudden, the whole service got interrupted because there was fire, and it wasn't fire from the Holy Ghost. It was somebody's alternator caught on fire. And so we all had to clear out. There's another Sunday. This ain't going online anywhere, is it? There was another Sunday. I jumped up on the back of my truck, had some fire, and I was ready to preach. And as I made that jump up onto the truck, I split my pants just about all the way. And that was all right as long as the congregation was in front of me right here. But when it came time to leave, they all had to go right behind me. That's all that story you need to hear from right now, right? But man, we get out there, and you know, I'd start to sing in, you know, that time I'd be the one leading the singing, and I'd started off about two or three notes or octaves or whatever. I didn't know what I was doing, and cracking and creaking the whole way. And I'm telling you, you are blessed with the pastor that you have. But your pastor cannot do for you what you're going to need to have camp meeting when camp meeting's over.
That's right.
The truth is this. Camp meeting is good. Camp meeting is wonderful. I love camp meeting. But you're going to need something from God that you need to get for yourself. So here's what we'll preach on tonight, and it won't take me long. If you'll help me, we'll pray and see what the Lord has for us. But here's what I want to preach on. You have something that you can't keep, and you can have something that you can't lose. Now, I want you to see it. I want to read one verse, but then keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at this passage together. I want you to go to Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 42. Now, I'm going to rely on your memory just a little bit right here, and then we'll look at the passage together. But Jesus is talking to Martha here. He's talking to Martha, and here's what he says. One thing is needful. If I could say to Down East Baptist Church tonight, to every member, and by the way, what a crowd y'all got here on a Wednesday night. This is a blessing. And I'm telling you, God's doing something special here at y'all's church, and I'm excited about it. But the one thing that Down East Baptist Church needs, and the one thing that you need, we're going to find it right here. Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Here's what I'm preaching on. You have something that you can't keep, and you can have something that you can't lose. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I need your help tonight. God, if anything that's going to matter for eternity is going to be accomplished here, it won't be because of my words. It won't be because of my ability. It will be because of the power of the Word of God and the enabling of the Holy Ghost of God. So I'm asking you tonight, Lord, to speak to every heart of every person here tonight exactly that which they stand in need of. Lord, I do pray, and I don't ask this for my sake. I ask it for Jesus' sake and for this congregation's sake. Would you help me tonight to preach a better message than I'm able to preach in and of myself? God, these folks have gotten help all week long, but they need fresh bread. They need something fresh and new from you tonight. And so I pray that you would forgive me of any sin, anything in my life that would hinder the work that you desire to do here. And I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and accomplish all your will in this service. I pray for every person who's here that we'll be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus. If there's somebody here, and Lord, out of a good crowd like this, I'm sure there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Would you let this be the night where they're drawn by the Holy Spirit of God, convicted of their sin, and then saved by the wonderful grace of God? I pray you'll take care of my girls and my wife while I'm away tonight. Bless our church as they're meeting right now. I just pray that you'll help us here like you're going to help them there. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the Bible says here in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 42, Martha, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I told you, we're preaching on this. You have something that you can't keep. And I'll go ahead and tell you what that is. You cannot hold on to the time that you've got right now. Now look, I'm 30 years old. I am 30 years old, and to most of y'all, that means I'm a baby, all right? I understand that, but to this crowd over here, it means I'm a dinosaur. It means I'm an old man, and I'm telling you this, you're in high school right now, you're just getting into high school, you've got the summer, you've got camp in front of you, and all these things, but I'll tell you what I used to hear the old people say to me when I was a teenager, you're going to blink, and it's going to be gone. High school's going to be a memory. Hey, boys, right now you're slim and trim and you're looking good and your hair. This is what you've got to look forward to right here. Just remember that. And girls, as good as they look right now, you give them a few years, this is what you'll be looking at, right? But the truth is, you cannot hold on to the time that you've got. Mama, daddy, you might try to keep your babies little. You might try to keep them and try to just hold them right where they are, but they're not going to stay little. My little girl, we've already had a talk about it. We've already got an understanding. She's never going to move out of my house. She's never going to get married. She understands that. I understand that. But you know what's going to happen along about maybe 15, 16 years old, if not sooner? One day she's going to be somewhere and she's going to look over and see some stinking boy. She's going to see some boy that don't have any money, don't have a job, and don't have any sense. And she's going to say, Daddy, I love him. Why? Because you cannot stop time.
Right.
The Bible says this life is like a vapor. You can try to grab a vapor when it's coming up off of that stovetop. You can try to grab that steam when it's coming off, but you cannot stop it. You cannot slow it down. The truth is this. I wish that sometimes I could slow down the clock. I wish that sometimes 2016, what he was talking about that happened at our church, I don't have time to talk about it tonight, but that's the reason I'm at that church today. God used that in my life like he used it in your life. I wish I could go back to that sometimes. I wish I could sit in some of those services again, but I can't stop time and neither can you. And when it comes to the time that you got, there's really only three things you can do with it. Number one, you can waste it. What are you doing with the time and the life that God has given you? You can waste your time. You can spend your time. Now here's what wasting looks like. I don't get anything out of it. I come to the end of the day and I haven't produced anything. I haven't got anything. I've wasted my time. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of folks going to get to the end of their life and realize they have wasted their life.
Yeah.
They've went through their days, they've had their hours, they've had their minutes, but they don't have anything to show for it. Then there's going to be some folks who have spent their time. Here's what spending your time looks like. What you put in is what you get right back out.
Right.
You put in time with your children now, and maybe when you're older, they'll put in some time with you.
Right.
That's called spending your life. But there's something even better we can do with our lives. And here it is. You can invest your life.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about spending. I have, and by the way, preacher, grandma is going to be upset with me. There's some money laying up here because the offering taker overlooked us because he didn't figure we had anything, all right? But I'm going to leave this up here. This is for the offering. But I got a $5 bill in my hand tonight. When I leave here and this service is over, if I go over to Chick-fil-A and I give them this $5 bill, they will give me one peach milkshake for $5. Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that pitiful? But it's good, I'll tell you that much. I give them this $5 and they give me something back right away. I have spent what I've got. I hadn't invested it. And I've got an equal return for what I gave them. That's spending. Can you say amen right there?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about spending. When you spend your life, you're going to get something out of it right away.
Yeah.
You're going to get something. It's going to be equal. It's going to be good. But it's going to be gone before you know it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with investing. I can take this same $5 bill, and I can take it and give it to somebody today. And I won't see it for a long time. I won't have it in my hands. It won't be mine in that sense, if you will. But a long time from now, I'll get more in return than what I put in.
Right.
And what I want to talk to you about tonight is one of those kind of things. If you waste your life, if you spend your life, you can do something better. You can invest your life. But here's what I want to give you. When you invest your life, you'll get more than you put in, but you just won't get it right now.
Right.
It'll take some time. So you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at, back at our Bibles tonight, because you have something you can't keep, and that is time. But you can have something that you can't lose, and here's what that is. It's real simple. I'm a simple preacher, so y'all just work with me tonight. You have something you can't keep, and that is time. But you can have something that you can't lose, and that's time with God. You have something you can't keep. You can't keep your teenage years.
Right.
You can't keep your retirement years. You can't keep your child-raising years. Look, y'all's church is so blessed right now. Y'all might not believe what I'm fixing to say. The church I pastor, Preacher Barker was there before me, Preacher Wishon before him. They were there during a lot of the building days. I'm talking about those days when they literally built the buildings and they sacrificed and they worked. And I hear some of those stories and I get to talk to some of the folks who are there. And you know what they say? How blessed we were that we got to sacrifice.
Yeah.
10 years from now, there's no telling what this church is going to look like.
Yeah.
There's going to be folks that are coming here that never had to sacrifice one bit like y'all are going to have to. But they're not going to enter into all the blessings that y'all are going to enter into. I'm telling you something. Don't waste the time that you've got right here, right now.
Yeah.
Because you have something you can't keep. That's time. But you can have something you can't lose, and that's time with God. I want you to notice a few things out of the passage tonight, and we'll be finished in camp meeting 2023. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 10, verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now, when it says that it came to pass as they went, the way that reads, if you study it out a little bit, it has this idea. It was an unannounced visit by Jesus. Have y'all ever looked at somebody and said, if you ever buy this way, y'all come on by the house? You ever said that to somebody? And then sure enough, they do it? And you say, what in the world? Last night, we had to take Joanna, had to take her to the emergency room last night. She's fine, but we had to go to Winston to do it, and that's about a 30-minute drive for us. And my wife's brother, he was in the military. He's out now, and he's living in Winston. Just got a new apartment. And he lived with us some, you know, when he was between his boot camp and all those kind of things. And so he told us, he said, hey, this place has got a pool. And if y'all ever want to come go swimming, y'all just come right over anytime. So last night at 10 o'clock, I said, Emily, do you want to do it? She said, absolutely. 10 o'clock last night, we were standing at his apartment door, had bags in our hands, knocking at the door, and said, you told us if we wanted to use the pool anytime, we could use it. We're here now. You talk about a look on his face. But I'm telling you, Jesus and the disciples show up at Martha's house, and it seems like from this text, it was an unannounced visit. Now you say, well, that's not that big of a deal. I'd sure be... Does somebody here play the banjo? Hallelujah. Look at it again. What am I looking at?
That's a guitar banjo.
That's a guitar banjo. Now, I'll tell y'all what. Down here in Wilson, y'all don't know how to say water. You say water, and you don't know how to even have a banjo. Listen, I'm going to pray for you. But Jesus and all the disciples show up at Martha's house. Now, you say, well, that'd be good. That'd be wonderful. I'd sure be happy if Jesus came by my house. I'd love to have Jesus at my house. You think about it from Martha's perspective. Jesus shows up at her house, and that's good. Jesus shows up at her house, and that's wonderful. But think about who's with him. There are 12 more men that show up at Jesus or at Martha's house with Jesus, and they're hungry. They're probably sweaty. Their feet are probably dirty. So now, out of nowhere, Martha is dealing with the chaos of 13 men showing up at her house unannounced.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Your life is not going to be any less chaotic than that.
Right.
Man, I wish sometimes that time would just slow down a little bit. Brother Scott, you'll know what this is like. Me and Emily will be talking, and I'll say, well, if we can just get past Easter.
Right.
As soon as we get past Easter, we'll slow down. And as soon as we can get past the school year, we'll slow down. And as soon as we can get past the mission trip, we'll slow down. And as soon as we can get past camp meeting, we'll slow down. We'll take a vacation. And the truth is, though, it might be different for a preacher than it is for you. You talk about the same stuff at your house.
Yeah.
Soon as we get to go on vacation, we'll slow down some. Soon as we get all this overtime in, we'll slow down some. I'm telling you something, your life is going to be chaotic and your life is going to be busy. There's just no getting around it. Some of you thought the day I retire, that's going to be the day I get to slow down. And what did you find out? Everybody and their sister had plans for you, and you're busier now than you ever been in your life. Some of y'all are thinking, as soon as high school's over, I'll get serious with God. As soon as I get ball behind me, I'll get serious with God. As soon as I finally get her to say yes to me, I'll get serious with God. The truth is this, your life is only going to get busier than it is right now.
Yep, that's right.
Martha says, what in the world? I've got Jesus here. I've got 13 hungry, sweaty men in my house. So what does Martha do? Well, she meets the chaos like a good host or a hostess would. The Bible says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But look at verse 40. The Bible says, Martha was cumbered about much serving. You know what the Bible just said to us? Martha sees Jesus and the disciples show up at her house, and it's a chaotic scene. It's a busy scene, just like your life is busy. She says, we got to get some barbecue on the table. We got to get some good bread on the table. We got to get some sweet tea on the table. We got to get these men's feet cleaned up. We got to make sure they have some dessert. And Martha is cumbered. Martha is busy. Martha is distracted serving the Lord Jesus. What Martha was doing was not wrong. It just wasn't the best thing.
Right. Amen.
You've got something right now that you can't keep, and that's time. But you can have something that you can't lose. There was chaos in the house. Your life is going to be busy. You just go ahead and mark it down. But then Martha comes to Jesus, and Martha is looking for a confrontation. Martha is looking for a challenge, because she says in verse number 40, as she is much serving, she's trying to be a blessing to Jesus. She's working for the Lord. She's doing for the Lord. But the Bible says she was cumbered with much serving. And she came to him and said, Lord, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve her, to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me." You know what Martha was saying? See if this sounds familiar to anybody. "I'm the only one around here who ever does anything. This place would fall apart without me. I'm the only one who cares. I'm the only one who serves. I'm the only one who does. And Jesus, I think it's just about time that you challenge, you confront my sister, and you tell her to get up off of her blessed assurance and get in here and help me." That's what Martha was saying. Now, that's Yadkin County language, but that's what Martha was saying. She was looking for Jesus to confront and to challenge her sister. You know what most of us are doing? We're looking for Jesus to confront and to challenge the world.
Yeah.
We think the reason the country is in the mess that it's in is because of the Democrats. And it's just about time Jesus stands up and challenges the Democrats. Or we think, you know what, the reason our country is in the mess and the shape that it is because of the Hollywood crowd. And it's just about time for Jesus to stand up and challenge and confront the Hollywood crowd. And we say, "Lord, do you not see? Lord, do you not care?" But look at what Jesus says when Martha was looking for a challenge, when Martha was looking for a confrontation. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We don't know. I tend to believe that Mary probably had been in the kitchen helping Martha to serve the disciples and serve Jesus. But Martha was still busy and Martha was still going. And Jesus looks at her and here's what he basically says. "Martha, the barbecue was fine. Martha, the dessert was wonderful. Martha, I appreciate your hospitality. I appreciate you being good to us. But Martha, there's only one thing that really matters right now. And the challenge and the confrontation that is needed is not out there with the world. It's not out there with the folks who come on Sunday morning and don't serve and don't do anything. And you want to say, don't you want to help? Don't you want to do something?" You know who needs to be confronted the most of the time? It is us.
Yeah. Amen.
Look here, I know that I'm talking to some of the best folks in Wilson County tonight. I understand that. I understand that I'm talking to some of the cream of the crop of Down East Baptist Church. I get that. But you know where the problem is with most of our churches? You know where the problem is with our country? It is with those of us who claim to know the Lord Jesus the best.
Right.
Because we're so busy doing so much for Him. And we're looking and saying, "Lord, aren't you going to say something to them about how little they're doing, about how little they care?" And the Lord Jesus might come to us like He came to Martha, and He might say something like this: "Down East, Down East. The problem in Wilson County is not the liberal church down the road.
Right.
The problem in Wilson County is not the church or the Christian next door. The thing in Wilson County that is more needful than anything else, it's not that I need you to do something else for me." Now understand, there's a lot to be accomplished. There's a lot to be done. And by the way, your pastor's wife, I'm sure they wouldn't mind one bit if you came up to them after the service and said, "What can I do to help?" I think that'd be a blessing to them. But Jesus says, before any of that, Martha, Mary was in there in the kitchen helping you. Mary was in the kitchen serving with you. She was doing all those good things and those fine things. But eventually, she found her way to come and sit down at my feet.
Yeah.
Martha, you could sit down at my feet too.
Yeah.
Martha, it's not more sweet tea that I need. Right. Martha, it's not more dessert that I need. I need you to hear my voice because I have made an unannounced visit, but it is not a visit without intention. It's right. Not an unpurposeful visit. He says, "Martha, I've come by because I have something to say to you."
Amen.
You know what I believe the challenge Jesus wants to give to you and to me tonight would be? Why don't you just sit down a little while and hear my voice?
Yeah.
Why don't you just spend a little time with me? Listen to what I have to say to you. Listen, there are three words used to describe Martha in this passage. Number one, in verse number 40, Jesus says, "You're cumbered." Number two, in verse 41, He says, "You're careful." Number three, in verse 41, He says, "You're troubled." Three words to describe Martha. See if these words sound familiar to you tonight. He says, "You are cumbered." That word means you are distracted. He says, Martha, you're distracted. You're doing a lot of good things in the kitchen, but you're missing the most important thing, sitting right here at my feet and listening to what I have to say to you. He says, Martha, you're cumbered. You are distracted. You're overoccupied. You are distracted. What about the next word? He says, Martha, you're careful. You know a good way we could say that? You're anxious.
Yeah.
You're worried about what's going to be and what's going to come. And then he says this, you are troubled. Here's the three words to describe Martha in good Wilson language. He said, you are distracted, you are anxious, and you are agitated. Does that not sound like us in 2023?
Oh, yeah.
You know that there are folks who make their whole living by keeping you distracted, anxious, and agitated.
Amen.
You know what Jesus says to Martha? He says, Martha, Martha, you have something you can't keep. You can't hold on to this time. It's not just every day that Jesus is going to come by your house. Can I say something to Down East tonight? Jesus makes a whole lot of unannounced visits.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Scott, I don't know if it's like this for y'all here, but we have folks at Northwood that'll miss from time to time.
Yeah.
And we miss them when they're not there. And I always want our folks to know, I am not upset with them when they miss church. When I see somebody missing, I think, you know what, there's probably something going on with their family. But I will tell you this about your pastor. Every time he gets up to preach and your place is empty, this place can be absolutely packed to the gills, and he's still thinking, where are they at?
Yeah.
What's going on with them? Because he's got a pastor's heart and a shepherd's heart. But when I see somebody missing, I don't get upset with them most of the time. But I will tell you the truth, I get upset for them a whole lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because I know something that's going on in their family. I know some burden they've came and talked to me about, something that's going on in their life, some help they need from the Lord. And it seems like it happens this way just about every time. The service that they miss is the service that Jesus decides to come by unannounced and talk about exactly what they're needing.
Yeah.
And I sit there and think, man, I wish they could hear this. Jesus has got something to say to them. Can I say this to you? Don't miss services at Down East Baptist Church, because you never know when Jesus is going to drop by.
Right.
We're looking for answers a whole lot of times that Jesus might want to give us, but we miss because we're not in the right place.
Yeah.
Lord, I need some help. Lord, I need you to say something to me. Lord, I need you to do something for me. I need you to speak to me. And we've got questions and we're looking for answers, but the truth is this, if we would just open up our Bibles, it might be that God in heaven has the answer for you right there in His Word. He said, Martha, here's the reason you hadn't come and sat down at my feet. Because you are distracted. Yeah. That little word cumbered, it has this idea. It means you are dragged away by distraction.
Yeah.
Here's what that would look like. Martha's there in the kitchen. Maybe she's washing the dishes after the disciples have ate. And Jesus has ate. And she hears Jesus talking over in the living room. And she's washing the dishes. But she says, man, nobody ever spake like he spake.
Yeah.
Here the gracious words are being spoken in there. And so she starts to make her way over to the living room, because she says, I want to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to be where He is. I want to hear His voice. I want to hear His words. I need to hear what Jesus has to say to me. But just about the time she gets close, and just about the time she gets in good earshot of what Jesus is saying, all of a sudden she remembers, I've got to get back to the kitchen. I've got to take care of those dishes. I've got to be a good hostess. You know what it looks like for most of us? We'll leave a meeting like this, and we make promises to God. Say, God, I'm going to fellowship with you tomorrow. God, I'm going to read your word tomorrow. God, I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning. And we have every intention of doing it. But you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to hear your voice. I'm going to see what you have to say to me, because, Lord, I love you. I can't wait to hear your voice. And just about the time that you're ready to hear the voice of the Lord and hear what Jesus has to say to you, you'll hear one little ding come from your phone. You'll look over and you'll see one pile of clothes that just have to be folded right now. Man, you'll see something that has been tore up and broken, busted on your house for 20 years, and you hadn't done a thing about it, and your wife reminds you you hadn't done a thing about it, and you'll say, right now, this is the time that I got to take care of that piece of business. You know what's going to happen? Jesus, I want to get in there with you. I want to spend time with you, but let me just go take care of this one thing first. You know what Jesus says? He says, Martha, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Right.
Martha was doing good things, But she was missing the most important thing. Can I say it to you like this? You never know what Jesus has to say that you're going to need to hear.
Right.
You see, Jesus showed up unannounced. Jesus didn't say, Martha, I'm going to be at your house on the second Tuesday of the month. Be ready for me. He didn't say that. He just showed up at her house. But you know what's so interesting? It was less than 2 months, maybe not even that long, before her brother died. Now, I can't say this for sure, so y'all just take it for what you will. But I wonder if Jesus came by her house because he knew what she was getting ready to face.
Yeah.
I wonder if he came by her house because he said, Martha, there's some things that you need to hear today so you can be ready in just a few days when your brother will die. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about all that. Preacher, I'm not sure about that. Well, the thing was this. Martha didn't have time for Jesus. And some of us don't have time for Jesus today. But it was real interesting. In just a few days, maybe a few months at the most, when her brother died, Martha was the first person to get in Jesus' face and say, Lord, if you had been here. You know what she was saying? Jesus, I've got time for you right now.
Right.
It's amazing how crisis will come in our life. Amen. And we realize we're not really as busy as we thought we were.
Yep. That's right.
She gets in Jesus' face and said, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You know what she was saying? I got a question for you, Jesus. And I wonder if Jesus might have looked at her and said, Martha, if I had been here, I was here 2 months ago.
Right.
I wonder if sometimes we face things in our lives and we look and say, Lord, where were you at? Lord, why didn't you speak to me? Lord, why didn't you give me some warning, some help? And the Lord Jesus, he's too gracious to do it, but he can look at us and say, I was at your church 2 months ago.
Amen.
I was waiting for you in the private place, in the quiet place, but you never opened your Bible. I was there.
Right.
Here's the truth. Martha, you have something you can't keep. You cannot keep this day. You cannot keep this time that Jesus is in your house. But you can have something that you can't lose, and that's time with God. He says, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I don't care how much money you make, it can be taken away from her.
Amen.
It takes one sickness, it takes one downturn in the economy, and that money can be gone.
Right.
You can take your life's work and you can build and build, but all it takes is one mistake or one bad review and you can lose it all. You can lose your health. You can lose a whole lot of things, but I'll tell you what you'll never lose. That's time that you have spent with your heavenly Father.
Amen.
You know, Jesus shows up at Lazarus' tomb after Lazarus died, and Martha gets in his face and says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But you know what's interesting to me? Mary had the same kind of question that Martha had.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? When bad things happen in your life, when troubles, when trials, when heartbreaks happen in your life, you're probably going to ask some of the same kind of questions that your lost neighbor is going to ask.
Yeah.
You're going to ask why. You're going to say things like, Lord, where were you at? What are you doing? But here was the difference. Martha got in Jesus' face and said, if you had been here, Mary fell down at his feet and said, Lord, you've just been here.
Yeah.
You know what the difference is? When I come into hard spots in my life, I want to be the kind of person who falls at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Instead of getting up in the face of Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
But you know how that's going to happen? Mary had already been at the feet of Jesus.
Right. That's right.
She said, Jesus, I'm not too busy for you. I want to hear what you have to say. You see, they didn't know it. And in just less than a year's time, Jesus was going to die on the cross. Martha, you can't hold on to this time, but you can fellowship with God, and that will never be taken away from you. Down east, there's a lot of things you could do this summer. I know there's fishing to do, and I know there's trips to do, and I know there's things to do. But I'll tell you this, you will never one time regret time that you've spent with God's people in God's Word.
That's right.
You see, there was a challenge here. There was chaos here. But finally, there's a choice in this passage. You see what it says here? One thing is needful, verse 42. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You say, what's the choice in this passage? Well, we don't know what Martha did. We don't know if Martha heard Jesus say, Martha, the dishes will wait. Martha, we've had enough sweet tea. We've had enough dessert. That'll all wait. But Martha, how about you just sit down here by Mary for a minute and hear what I've got to say to you. We do not know what Martha did, but here's what we know. Jesus loved her enough to come by where she was and to say, Martha, I'm here because I have something to say to you. I'm here because I have something you need to hear. And here's what I would say to you down East Baptist Church. Jesus has come by this place tonight through the Word of God because He has something to say to you. And here's what I believe it is. You have something that you can't keep. 2023 is going to be gone before you know it. How many of you remember your New Year's resolutions you made at the beginning of this year? You said, this is going to be the year. And now we're better than halfway through the year. And you're saying, where did it go?
Right.
I said at the beginning of this year, I was going to lose 15 pounds. I've only got 20 pounds to go on that goal. And the year has just flown by. The year has kept going. You cannot stop time.
Right.
Tomorrow morning, there's still going to be dishes that need to be done.
Yep.
There's still going to be notifications from ESPN and from Fox News. And there's still going to be things that need to be checked on. But can I encourage you to do this tomorrow morning before you do anything else? Maybe you got to get up 15 minutes early to do it. Maybe you get up 30 minutes early to do it. I don't know what it is. But tomorrow morning, what if you were to do this? What if you were to say, Jesus, I've got a lot of things to do. But I cannot keep this day, but I do want to spend time with you. And so you sit down with the Bible in your hand. I believe every person in this room can hear from God this way. Sit down with the Bible in your hand and say, Lord, I'm going to read some today. I don't know exactly what you've got to say to me, but I'm going to read till you talk to me. Maybe you read the same verses over and over again. Maybe you keep reading till you hear something from it. But you say, Lord, I've got to hear something from you because I love you and I need you. You know what I believe? Any person in this room who will come to God that way, He will stop by your house tomorrow. And who knows what He has to say. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Tomorrow morning you're going to say, Jesus, I'm going to spend time with you. Jesus, I'm going to do it. But then the phone's going to ding. The baby's going to cry. The dishes are going to be there. And you'll say, Jesus, I'll be right with you. Isn't that where most of us live our whole lives?
Yep. Amen.
Jesus, as soon as I get this job done, as soon as I make this amount of money, as soon as I get the kids through high school, as soon as I finish high school, I'll be right with you, Lord. And then we never do make it because we're dragged away by distraction. And then we're anxious, we're agitated, and we're distracted. And all the while, Jesus is just sitting and He's waiting on us. Here's the way one old preacher said it, and I'm about done preaching. Preacher quoted the verse earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What am I going to do for a career? Who in the world am I going to marry? I hope she's good looking. Say amen right there, fellas. Who in the world am I going to marry? Where in the world am I going to school? Here's what the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You take care of God's business, and God will take care of your business.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here's what the old preacher said. God may not be first in your life, but He'll never be next.
Right.
Think about that. Martha, you can keep working, you can keep doing, or you can come and sit down and just have a little fellowship with me, have a little time with me. Down East, how are you going to have camp meeting? Once camp meeting is over, you make the choice tonight to spend time with God every day of your life. Every time the doors of this church are open, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss because Jesus just might stop by. Tomorrow morning when it comes time, you're going to have your Bible ready. You're going to be in your private place, your quiet place, your secret place. And you're going to open up the Word of God and say, Lord Jesus, speak to me. I need to hear from you. I need help from you. Go to the book of Revelation. I'm done preaching tonight. You don't have to turn there. But we use this verse a whole lot for lost folks, don't we? And that verse says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, that's a good verse. You can use it for lost folks, but that's not who it's talking to primarily. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You know what the Bible just said? Jesus is standing at the door of the Down East Baptist Church. He said, I sure would like to come in and go to church with y'all tonight.
Amen.
I sure would like to come in and bless y'all tonight and speak to y'all tonight and strengthen y'all tonight. He's standing at the door and He's knocking. Yeah. And you say, well, I guess the preacher better go open the door. There may be some times that he can't go open the door and let the Lord Jesus in. But remember what the verse said. It said, if any
Amen.
Man.
That's right.
I sometimes wonder if there are services where the Lord Jesus is standing at the door and He's knocking and He's knocking on your heart and He's working in your heart and He's saying, I want you to stand up. I want you to give a word of testimony. I want you to say amen. I want you to do this or I want you to do that. And we say, Lord, I'd love to do that, but I just can't do that. I'd embarrass myself. And the Lord Jesus says, but I just want to come in and I just want to fellowship with you. Can I tell you something about Jesus? He's never going to kick the door down to come in.
Right.
This is His church.
Yep.
This church does not belong to Pastor Sherrod. Right. This church does not belong to you. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
But Jesus is not going to kick down the door to come in.
Right.
He's not going to kick down the door to come in on your life and speak to you that which you need to hear. But you've got the blessed privilege. Whosoever, if any man, maybe there's a young lady, if you would be the one to open the door, maybe a young man, if you'd be the one to open the door, maybe some senior saint, if you would be the one to open the door, who knows what God could do in this church
right.
if you just reach and open the door.
Anybody?
1904, Brother Scott, this next 2 or 3 minutes is your preacher's fault, all right? He got me stirred up talking about what he's seen God do. This is his fault. This time doesn't count against me. Y'all cut it off his message on Sunday morning, all right? 1904, they were having a meeting. Preacher got up and he preached. They went through all the regular form and the routine. And there was a group of young people there, probably about y'all's age. And the preacher got up and he said, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? And, you know, they were all kind of embarrassed because they just came to church because it was what you did. It's where you met the girls. It's where you met the boys. And they weren't really there spiritually minded. They were just there. And he said, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? And it was an awkward silence. Nobody had anything to say. And finally, one young man spoke up. He thought he gave a real good religious sounding answer. And he said, Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Now, that's the truth, and that's good. But that preacher looked and said, I appreciate that, but that's not what I asked. I ask, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? There's a 16-year-old girl. She hadn't been saved very long at all. She stood up in that meeting, and here's what she said. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. That was all she said, and she sat back down. But you know what came from that young lady just reaching out and opening the door in that meeting? Just being obedient to the Lord? Over the next year in the nation of Wales. Now, you think about the nation of Wales. It was a little country. It was a coal mining country. Over the next year, over 100,000 people were saved. And it could be traced back to that very moment that that 16-year-old girl who hadn't been saved very long said, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. They said that the chapels would be so filled. Chapels all over the country. There was one preacher. He was kind of a leading preacher in it all. He showed up at a chapel one night, and the place was so filled that he literally had to climb over the altar rail to get to the pulpit. They said there was 2,000-3,000 people in the meeting that night. He stood up before the congregation. He said this. He said, do you know the promise in the Word of God where it says, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst? And they all shouted, yes. And he said to him, he said, well, are there 2 or 3 here gathered in the Lord's name? And they all started laughing. There was 2,000-3,000 people there. And he said, well, it seems to me then you have no need of me. He put on his coat. He put on his hat. He climbed back over the altar rail. He walked out the back door. And God met with him that night. And God saved a number of sinners in that meeting where the preacher had left and went on to another church. You know why? Because God has showed up in that country.
Yep.
One little boy was heard to say this in that country during those days. Somebody said, what is revival? He said, I don't know exactly what revival is, but I know this. Now every day is Sunday and Jesus has come to live in our town.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to hear that? What's going on down at Down East? I don't know exactly what it's like, but it's like Jesus has come to live at our church.
Right.
It's like somebody's opened up the door and just let the Lord Jesus in. You could be the one to do that tonight. But it's all going to come down to, will you make the choice to make the time to sit down at the feet of the Lord Jesus? You won't have camp meeting when it's over. You get along with the Lord every day. You be in your place every time these doors are open. And who knows what God will do at this church and in your community just because you open the door, just because you sit down. Let's pray together. Your preacher's coming to conduct the invitation, Father. Oh my, I've preached too long tonight. These folks have been so encouraging. And Lord, you've been helping me. I know that. I pray you'll take this simple message Lord, I'm sure it's not the best message they've heard this week, but it's the message you had for us tonight. Lord, you've challenged our hearts. You made us stop by here tonight, I believe. And who knows what you're going to use this church and this message to accomplish in the days and the years to come. So, Father, help us to be the kind of people who will open the door. Help us to be the kind of people who will just sit down and hear the voice of God, because this moment will be gone soon. But the moments we spend with you, they'll never, ever be taken away. Bless this church, bless this pastor and his family, and God, do your work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Standing together all over the place.